A spiritual encounter is meeting the spirit called God face to face. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 17 tells us what happens. Say, now the Lord is that spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there is what? There's liberty. So we are here to meet face to face with this spirit called the Almighty God to get liberty, the right of operation in 2023. To get direction, to get the license to face the programs, the progress, and even the challenges of 2023. We are here to get the liberty, the license, the permission to face the year. And someone here, you are living here loaded for the year. In the name of Jesus Christ. I have a word from the Lord this morning concerning today. And I want to announce it in this very beginning. He said that everyone in this camp will go home with the clarity of destiny. So every confusion surrounding your destiny shall be handled in this mountain. In the name of Jesus Christ. All the years of roaming about, not knowing where you're going and not knowing your direction, shall be sorted out in this mountain. In the name of Jesus Christ. If you believe it, shout the loudest, amen. Amen. Now this is PWC, Prayer and Word Convention. So the encounter, say, will largely be by the word through prayer. It is Prayer and Word Convention. So the encounters here will be largely by what? By the word through prayer. So as you are praying and you are listening, you have an encounter. Praise the Lord. But here is something you need to know. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 16. There is something about the word of God. All scriptures, which is what we'll be using here, is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So the word of God coming to you in this mountain shall have these four functions. So please listen very well for it. It's for a prophet. He said it's first of all for doctrine. That is for teachings and revelations. So the word of God is for revelation. It gives you revelation. It's also for reproof. So the word of God rebukes you. Says you are wrong. Hallelujah. So if all you know about God's word are some new revelation about Jesus Christ, the new creation, and who you are in Christ, you have just known one quarter of the Bible. But the Bible contains four. One is doctrine, which is revelation of Christ. Another one is reproof. Reproof. Which is rebuke. The Bible rebukes you and says, you are wrong. You are wrong like this last year. Do it like this. He said it contains also correction. Look at it there. Correction. Correction. Which means, now this is the way to do it. Rebuke is, you are wrong. Don't do it again. Correction is, this is the way to do it. To correct yourself. So, as you're listening here today, in this convention, listen for revelation. Also, listen for reproof. Also, listen for correction. When we were in primary school, after we do mathematics, they will say, we want to do correction. Correction means, this is what you should have I don't know, do they still do it in primary schools? They do correction. Now, it also contains, number four, instruction. Hallelujah. Which means, now, these are the things you will start doing. Correction is, these are the things you should have done. When you approach God's word from these four things he has to give us, It is, it's all scriptures is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. So it has profit. But the profits are available under doctrine. That's Revelations. Under reproof. Under corrections and under instructions. Someone here today, you go home instructed. You can't fly high without instruction. If you see anyone flying, making progress continuously, and able to overcome challenges when they come, he's well instructed. Please, as we go on from today, watch out for they will come in. Somebody will come trickishly, but be smart to catch it and write it down. This is the instruction I've got from the Word of God, and I will start doing this from today. You'll be shocked how your life will just move like this. 2022 is gone. And it's not 2023. There's someone here today. From this year, your light will start to shine. Because of instructions you're going to get here. It's called instructions in righteousness. Which means there are instructions concerning the righteousness of God and the right things you should do to get it right. So be alert. If I were you, I would have my pen and paper to write here. Thank God you are registered and you have a pen and a paper there to write something. Also, when you are sleeping in the night, trying to take your rest, have a pen and a paper and a torchlight. Thank God you have your phones. You flash your phone because God will speak to someone anytime in this camp. I am too sure that someone will go home well instructed. In the name of Jesus Christ. All right. Having said that for introduction, I want to give us the nature of encounters. Our God is a God of encounters. And there are certain things you cannot do with God, or certain things He cannot do with you until you have a definite encounter. And Pastor Joe already told us that one encounter is not enough. It's encounter after encounter. Which means you have encountered God. That's why you are where you are now. You need another encounter for another phase. When I see some Christians who tell me the stories of what God did in their life 10 years ago and how they met God and how God spoke to them, I get shocked. Years ago, we were in Israel and one great man of God said he had a testimony. He said, I want to testify. We are all listening. He said, for 10 years, I have not heard the voice of God. It's now that I came to Jerusalem. As we came to Jerusalem like this, now that I heard the voice of God. People started clapping. He said, praise God. Me, I started crying. And felt like disappearing there. I said, how can you lead the people of God if you don't hear God's voice after 10 years? But it was a testimony to him. Someone here today, you have a fresh encounter. Your old stories about how you met God, how you were saved is over. There's a new story by a fresh encounter. If you read the Bible very well, you will hear, and God appeared again to Abraham. And God spoke to Abraham. And God to Abraham. Which means God was always appearing to him. Always one encounter after another. Same thing to Moses. But there's this one encounter that started the life of Moses in Exodus chapter 3 from 1 to 10 at the backside of the desert. God met him there. He said, kick off your shoes. This place where you are is holy. We saw a bush burning and the leaves were very fresh. And he was caught with that sight. And a voice came. Praise the Lord. And this exilee, somebody who ran away because he was afraid, was sent back to the very country where he ran away from to confront the king, which was that we are the king of the whole earth. And he was able to go because of an encounter. I decree today, someone here will do what he has not done before because of an encounter. in the name of Jesus Christ. What will happen to you on this mountain will cause you to dare things you never dared before. To go places you never went before. To preach where you never preached before. Without fear. People of God, let me tell us this truth in all honesty. People like us would have no business preaching without an encounter. Some of us are very timid, very afraid, from very poor places. We can't even raise our head. But hey, there's something you will see and fear will disappear from you. Say with me, Lord Jesus. I didn't hear you say, Lord Jesus. Say it again, Lord Jesus. On this mountain, I want to encounter you. Moses, I cannot speak. All manner of complaint. But because of the encounter, the Bible says he was mighty. He was feared by Pharaoh. Because he had an encounter. Please, let me say this for those who may say, oh, I've encountered God several times. There's nothing you see in a vision that is enough encounter until a word follows it. Are you hearing me now? I slept and I saw Jesus walk to me and he was talking to me and he was walking and I saw Jesus. He looked at me. It was Jesus. And after you heard nothing, oh boy, you never get encounter. Every genuine encounter is more than sight. It contains sound. Did you hear me now? Let me say it again. Every genuine encounter is more than what? Sight. It contains what? Sound. Whatever you see is okay. But if there's no voice backing it with definite instruction, you've not encountered anything. So an encounter is a sight plus a voice. That's an encounter. Saul, the son of Kish, in 1 Samuel 10 from 1 to 7, was just a prince, head and shoulder, taller than everybody in Israel. Big for nothing. But they encountered a man called Samuel. Hallelujah. This man was so big and handsome and tall and yet hid himself in the stuff because he was not sure of himself. I don't know whether I've seen people like that. Everybody thinks that they are very powerful, they are very big, but in themselves they are very little. Very small, they're dying inside. He said, I am nobody. I came from the smallest tribe in Israel. And how can all manner? But he encountered a man of God and encountered the word of God. Somebody said, come, I will show you something. The Bible said, this man Saul was turned to another man. Someone here today shall be turned to another man. Say, you shall be turned to another man. You shall be turned to another man. You shall be turned to another man. In the name of Jesus. So every encounter leaves you with a change of story. Pastor Joe said it's a change of identity. Saul of Tarsus was another man who later became Paul. It was Boko Haram. That's the way to describe him. Against Christ, against God, very educated Boko Haram. But one encounter on his way to Damascus was the end of the story. A light appeared from heaven and shone upon him. And he fell from his horse. All those riding with him also fell down. And he said, Saul, the voice said, He said, Lord, who are you? He called him Lord. He already knew he was the Lord. Who are you? He said, I'm Jesus whom thou persecutest. You can't kick against the gods. You will break your leg. You will smash yourself. Now get up and go to a city called Straight. You will meet a man there called Ananias. He will show you what to do. For I've called you for this purpose. Take my word to the Gentiles. A sight and what? Sound. That's an encounter. Not I saw a vision and the angels were passing and passing. I saw God come down from heaven. And then, what happened? That's an encounter. That might be a nightmare as well. Praise the Lord. Someone here today will have an encounter. In the name of Jesus Christ. Say me, in the name of Jesus Christ, I will have an encounter that will change my life. Now, Saul wrote more than 2/3 of the New Testament. Or 1/3 of the New Testament. I've forgotten what he wrote. How do you know the religion of Christ is the same person? Because he had an encounter. His story was changed. Genesis chapter 32 from 22, somebody had an encounter. And let's probably read that so you watch what it looked like. It looked like that was a man called Jacob, a trickster, who so tricked everybody until his own life became a trick. You know, when you are too trickish, you don't know when you are also lying to yourself. Are you aware of that? I'm telling you the truth. I've seen liars before. You lie until you now lie to yourself. And you become a lie. Not just a liar. You know, you graduate from being a liar to what? A lie. You are a lie. So Jacob was a trickster. But there was a day made for his destiny to change. And he had an encounter with God because he desired it. And he rose up that night and took his two wives and his two women servants and his 11 sons and passed over the ford brook. Verse 23. And he took them and sent them over the brook and sent them over that he had. So he dropped what he had, dropped his family. So it comes a time whereby you separate yourself from others and separate yourself from your business. He left his family and all he had. Now you may be here with your family, but leave them. Leave them doesn't mean you run away, but separate yourself for a moment from the usual things you used to do before. That's what Jacob did. That's a prerequisite for an encounter. He tells the same thing to Saul. Samuel told Saul, hey, send your guys to go forward, to go. Let me go up with you. So there's usually a separation before an encounter. And you have left your house today. Separate yourself to this place. You will surely have an encounter. Shout the loudest amen. Amen. This is a beautiful place, but this is not the best place to be. Some of you are already very uncomfortable now because of one or two things that has happened as you have come. Forget about those distractions. Even Jacob used stone for pillow. I am sure you've not used stone for pillow and had an encounter on that stone. So if it happens that where you are lying in this camp is on a stone, probably, ladder will come. You didn't hear me now. So, forget about your comfort now. And seek an encounter. After all, it's just 4 days. You go back to your usual, relaxed, beautiful life. Separate yourself. All right. 24. And Jacob was left alone. And there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. He was wrestling. I've tried to imagine in my spirit, meditating, what this man would have been doing. How is wrestling? Was he actually wrestling with a man? I think he did. He did. And he wrestled until daybreak. Verse 25. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint. And he wrestled with him. Verse 26. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go except you say something. Except you say something. Yes, we have wrestled. I have seen you. I touched you. We have been fighting. And I can see you are a heavy person. You are a great person. We have been wrestling. But I will not let you go until you say something. Until you bless me. So an encounter must go with what? A word. A word. No sight you can see. That's enough encounter. Until something backs it up. He said, I will not go until you say something to me. Somebody here, God will say something to you. Yeah. Hallelujah. Don't think we are just starting. We have already started. We started before you came. Jesus was already saying something before you came. So, cue on, because this may be your own beginning. Say, in the name of Jesus Christ, I will hear a word. I will hear a word from the Lord made for me in this mountain. That will change my story permanently, forever. Shout the loudest amen. That was it. Verse 27. And he said unto him, what is thy name? Which means, let me change your identity. What's your number? The word name is nombre in Spanish. Nombre, which means a number, an identity, an ID. And he said, Jacob. 28. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel, a prince. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. Which means he was actually wrestling with the Almighty, and he won him in the fight and got his destiny. The question is, why will God want you to fight for your destiny? Because if you don't fight for it, you don't know the value of it. Today, you will go home with your destiny. In the name of Jesus Christ. Verse 29. And Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name? And he blessed him there. 30. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face. And my life is preserved. Today, you are seeing God face to face. This encounter shall preserve your life. It shall preserve your destiny. It shall preserve your future. You shall have instructions. You shall have corrections that will preserve your life. You also have revelations that will open your eyes. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Are you aware that you are here this evening because somebody had an encounter? You may not be aware. You see, sometimes you have to come home so that you know it doesn't sound up there. 1991, a man had an encounter with God where he saw a vision and a voice followed it. That's how Nico was born. Yeah. He saw a vision. He heard a voice saying, go do it like this. If you can do something like this, go do this for me. That's how Nico started. It is that encounter that is keeping you here now. So encounter is not something that just passed by. If you have an encounter, the result will remain. This is 32 years. That encounter is still speaking. The encounter you will have here will speak for a long time. You are sitting down here because of that encounter. So encounter is not something you joke with. It's not an encounter. Encounter is something that establishes a destiny and sets people's life on course and changes destinies forever. And I can tell you the truth. under God. What they are seeing in Neco is just the beginning of what God wants to do. You will see Neco. We will all see Neco with our eyes. Because God spoke. Sometimes let us not too much seek. Let's try to understand the encounter we had before. So we help us to have a new one. Thank you, Lord. Lift your hand towards heaven, just worship Him. Worship Him. Tonight, before I conclude this major encounter introduction, I must tell you quickly about the first and the most important encounter a man must have for any other encounter to have meaning. That's encounter with eternal life. Encounter with eternal life. John chapter 1 from verse 1. The scripture says, in the beginning was the Word. John 1 from 1 to 4. Say, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John chapter 1 from verse 1, please. Say, the same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by Him. And without Him was nothing made that was made. In Him, verse 4, was life, and the life was the light of man. In the beginning was the Word. En principio, like you say in Spanish, a la palabra. In the beginning was that revelation, not verbal, which is also a word. In the beginning was this revelation. And this revelation was with God. And this revelation is God Himself. The same revelation was with God from the beginning. And all things we are made by this Spirit called the Word. And without that Spirit was nothing made that was made. And in that Spirit was life. Was Zoe. Was the nature of God. Was the life of God. Was the principle of God's life. In Him was Zoe. In that revelation, in that Word that later became flesh, and we saw Him, we call Him Jesus. In Him was life. Was Zoe. Now, we say Zoe. We say life. But I've shared this several times, and I would like to say it 1 million times. The Greek used two words for life. One is suke. P-S-U-C-H-E. Suke. Which is also life. The ordinary life, the human life that you have, the natural life we got from Adam. But another one is called Zoe, which is what Jesus brings. It's not an ordinary life. In fact, Adam didn't have Zoe. He needed to eat a fruit of life to have it. And he missed it. So God always gives a man opportunity to eat life. Say, I will eat life. Adam missed it. And went out of the garden to give birth to all of us before with just suke. So we had a life that is inferior to God's standard. A life that's not what God wanted. The way there was a higher life. But now, Jesus has come to offer us again Zoe. And someone today shall go home with Zoe. So an encounter with Zoe, that life and nature of God, is one major encounter that every man must have. Every man must have that encounter. I want to say this without fear or contradiction. That many people in church who are actively working in church or even having positions have not encountered eternal life. It's not something you have and not know that you have it. It's not possible. You can't have eternal life without knowing that you have it. It has power beyond imagination. It's the living essence of God. It's the effulgence of the personality of God in a man. It's a reality that dawns in a man. One very important person, a dignitary, one of our states, had this encounter of eternal life and said, I don't know how to describe it, but I just know that I'm happy inside. I can't contain it. I don't know what's happening to me. My whole system is changed. I don't know what's happening to me, but this is not me. So he was able to realize that something has happened. It's beyond stopping to do what he used to do before. That is only a manifestation of it. It's a reality that dawns on you and suddenly everything about you is changed. When I encountered this life, my father saw me in the village when I went to see. He said, something has happened to you. This is not my son. This is not my son. This is not my son. I said, Daddy, what is it? He said, this is not my son. You are looking different. I said, but I'm wearing the same clothes I used to. He said, no, it's not about clothes. Something has happened to you. I can see it around you. There's something wrong with you. Something has happened to you. He said, now you are more happy. I said, what can you are singing? You don't easily get angry again. You're just different. Tell me what happened to you. So even that old man could find out that something has happened. So this your own born again that doesn't change anything is happy question mark. Big question mark. And we have testifiers here who will testify that when they got born again, they know that something happened. From today, every shallow or fake born again shall be corrected. Because if you encounter the life of Jesus, it will show. Forget it. It will show. It's not possible. It will show. You can't say you are born again and it doesn't show. It will show. Thank you, Lord Jesus. John 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have Zoe. So it's something to have. It's not just something to know or talk about, something to have. Something you can have and be sure you have. You can have eternal life. Say with me, I can have. Say, I can have eternal life. Say, I can have eternal life and know that I have it. It's not something to say, eternal life. No, something you can have and be sure you have it. I am glad I have eternal life. Today, someone will encounter this life afresh. Let me tell us the truth, brothers and sisters. A real encounter with eternal life is the end of struggles. You have struggled with sin. You have struggled with some habits. We just end. You will see that something has happened. That old habit in you will just walk out of you. I'm telling you, you will see yourself changed instantly. You know, in John 6, 67 and 68, Jesus was speaking to them this thing come by words. And at the time, they were offended at his words. He was talking some strange things. Some of them wanted to leave. He asked Peter, will you people also go? Peter said, where do you want us to go? You have the words of eternal life. Verse 68. Simon Peter answered, Lord, to whom shall we go? For thou hast the words of eternal life. Leave your hand towards heaven this evening. Say, in the name of Jesus Christ, in the name of Jesus Christ, tonight I will receive the words of eternal life. It will end my struggle with sin, my struggle with sickness, my struggle with doubts, my struggle with unbelief. It will end my struggle with confusion. Eternal life, the nature of God in my spirit, will change my story. Shout aloud, amen. The worst thing we have done in church is to assume that we have what you don't have. Whatever you assume you have, that you cannot prove you don't have it. Whatever you assume you know, without result, you don't know it. Hey, I know that by itself I'm healed. You have not known it until you get healed through it. I know the Bible says he was made poor, that through his poverty I become rich, and you are still broke every day. You have not known it. Let's be honest. And say, Lord, I don't know this thing, even though I've heard it. I want to understand it to a point it's working in my life. That's an encounter. Praise the Lord. Say, praise the Lord. Somebody sent me one comment, from a commentator, a young guy like that, that imitates commentator, and does it so well. He commented in Spanish. And speak, he said, lo, super raw. He said, oh, speaking French. I said, did I hear it? I heard it. Did I understand it? No. You can hear something in English and understand it in English, but I've not understood it in the spirit. It's called spiritual understand. That is when the result starts to come. You have not heard it. That day you become humble. I become humble and say, Lord, this thing I think I have, I'm not sure I have it. Lord, help me. You start to have it. Hallelujah. Now, let me say this. Maybe you understand it now. Matthew 1:21. Encounters are for the humble. The proud will miss encounters. But the proud will think he already has it, already knew everything. And he shall bring forth, she shall bring forth a son, the angel was saying. And thou shalt call his name Jesus, Yeshua, Joshua, Savior. For he shall save his people from their sins. His name shall be called Joshua, Yeshua, Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. That was the name of the man from birth. So his primary assignment before any other is to do what? To save from what? From sin. So the primary assignment of Jesus is to save you from sin. You know, when we're youth couples, they say in the place of our primary assignment, that's the number one, the main thing you came to do. Other things follow. Bless you, make you great, this and that, they all follow. But the number one, primary thing he came to do is to do what? To save you from sin. So the Jesus that has not saved you from sin, you have not met him. You didn't hear me now. The Jesus that has not saved you from your sin, you have not met him. Forget about the praying and the shouting and the noise making and the so-called miracles. Maybe if Jesus you met has not saved you from sin, you have not met Jesus at all. Because his primary assignment is to save you from what? From sin. Tonight, Jesus will save someone from sin. He that commits sin is of the devil, the Bible said. For the devil sinned from the beginning. And for this purpose was the Son of God manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. That motion of sin in your life, that easily besetting sin. What's easily besetting sin? That pet sin, that thing you do and pamper. Some of us have some sin with pamper. We don't want anybody to talk about it. Just leave that one. We know it's wrong. We know it's a sin. We commit it and pamper it. One can struggle with some habits and praying to God and fighting against it. But some people have some sins that they don't want anybody to go. Don't just go. Just leave that one. This is my short temper. Just leave it. That's me. This is my pushing women, pushing men. This is my worship pornography. Just leave that one, leave that side. You know, I can be good this side, but this side, I don't have grace on this side. Hey! If Jesus has not saved you from sin, you have not met him. His primary assignment is to save you from what? From sin. That's why the thing is shallow. With all that you are doing, it's still shallow. Because the first thing has not been made first. When you are separated, when I am separated from sin, then the Jesus that does everything will manifest. And it is the eternal life that he gives you. That gives you the power in the inside beyond your decision to live above sin. Someone here today shall go home with eternal life. In the name of Jesus. Said, in the name of Jesus. 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 If you know what sin has done in your life, you will get mad with it. It has weakened your faith. Before, when you are praying, you believe that God is hearing your voice. Now, when you are praying now, you are hearing all manner of voices because you know yourself. Before, you have some confidence and you can challenge Satan and say, get that, you demon. But now you cannot. You are afraid. You don't know whether. Sin weakens the spirit of a man. Easily besetting sin. That is the normal, the one you commit every time you are playing with it. You don't even take it serious. That one can quench you and make you like, become like a bread. Tonight, every sin that has taken root in your spirit and in your soul will not allow you to move forward by the power of Zoe tonight, it shall be uprooted. The Jesus whose name is Savior, whose primary assignment is to save from sin, shall save us tonight in the name of Jesus. That sin of 2022 will not stop you from succeeding in 2023. I want to tell somebody that's hearing me tonight, if I'm here by the authority of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. I don't care what it was, but I want to tell you today, by the authority that Jesus gave us as a church, and I happen to be one of the leaders here, your sins are forgiven. He said in his word, whatever sin we forgive is forgiven. Whatever we retain, one we retain is retained. I decree today, your own sins are forgiven. No sin you committed in the past, nor its consequence, will follow you after right now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. But the purpose of this thing I've done in Jesus' name is to give you opportunity to embrace Zoe. That nature. That nature. Thank you, Lord. This same Jesus, the Savior, met a woman called the woman of Samaria. A confirmed husband snatcher that dazzles men and mesmerizes men. To marry five husbands, I think it's easy. Marry five husbands. You know, the woman has a charm that's terrible. But he made this Jesus, the Savior, just once. Just once. Just one encounter by the well of Samaria. And story was changed. One encounter. That is the Jesus I've come to meet. That means Zacchaeus. Whoso defrauded people, if I'm to qualify him in modern terms, is senior 419, trickster, fraudster. One encounter with that Zacchaeus, the man said, all the money I stole, I want to return it back. In short, I will return it, see, fourfolds or sevenfolds. Once, Jesus was like, salvation has come to this man. Because he's also a child of Abraham. One touch of Jesus. There's somebody here today. This one encounter will stop this quarrelsome life in you. This quarrel. Nobody, anybody you do business with, do things with. Now fight. Now quarrel. Now confusion. But this one encounter will end it forever. This one encounter. This lie. Everything you lie. Put it like this. You're trying to cheat. Always like this. This one encounter will end it today. This is your secret watching of some things that you know that lived. I've said it to youngsters. I told them in the youth meeting the other time. I said, you can't be watching a naked woman without contacting an evil spirit. Because nobody stands on the camera naked without the power of a demon spirit. Are you aware of that? Nobody. Because there's this sacredness about human beings. Even the worst of human beings knows that nakedness is not human. So somebody to stand in front of camera and is not shy and is doing anything and is being viewed and sent to you and you are watching it, you are on a high traffic with demon spirits. And when it starts to destroy your own family, you wonder what is happening to you. But you are watching it secretly in the midnight on your phone. Nobody's aware of it on your laptop, on your palm, on all your this thing. You're like, nobody's coming. You don't. I'm going to finish you. Stop and start speaking in tongues. Ooh. Somebody's watching you. Not even that he's watching you. You have been destroyed. You have been invaded from outer space. You have been invaded by wicked spirits. Those who do it know what they want to do. And now it is rampant. You can't open any, to open common phonics, to open any place. You see one thing or the other. Hey, you have to grow beyond that. Your destiny is being challenged. But today, someone is going home with the strength to serve Jesus. It's caused the way. A power that can pull you through all manner of temptations. One encounter. A woman called a sinner in Luke chapter 7. I think that woman must be a harlot. Confirmed one. Just one encounter. If he's the same Jesus, if he's the same Jesus of the Bible, that is the Jesus of today, one encounter should change you. Say with me, today. Say today. Say again, today. The Jesus of the Bible. The Jesus of the Bible will come to me. I will see him. I will hear him. He will change me. He will change me. He will change me. In the name of Jesus Christ. Please don't confuse yourself with prayers. Or even with tongues, or even with miracles. If it is Jesus. And I was sharing with one of our pastors that I said, if it's Jesus, the one I read in the Bible, this is not him. I at least I'm wise, small. I know Jesus. I can see how this man behaves. This one's not his character. Whatever is not found in him shall not be found in you. Hear the scripture that will challenge you. Matthew 7:22, as we close now. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils. Are you aware that there are some guys casting out devils in the name of Jesus that didn't follow Jesus in the Bible? That John saw and reported? I said, I saw some guys casting out devils. In your name. And they're not following us. Jesus said, no, leave them. If they're not against us, they will be for us. But they're not in us yet. But they are for us, but not in us. They're not among us. Jesus told them, if you say, I cast out demons by Beelzebub, what does your own children cast it from? So which means there's some casting of demons already going on. So not every casting of demon is of God. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have we cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? Hear his answer. Verse 22. Watch this answer now. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. He didn't say, I used to know you and you fell off. He didn't say, you were once in me, walking with me, and now you are not in me again. He said, I never. Which means, I never saw you. You never encountered me. I never encountered you. We never had a meeting. Watch that grammar. We used to think like, yes, he will say, hey, yes, you have been serving me, but now you're coming. He said, I don't know you. I have never met you. Yes, you heard about me, but we had no encounter. He said, you have not encountered me. That's the problem. I don't know you. I don't know you. I never knew you. Depart from me, you that walk iniquity. Because if you have known me, if you have encountered me, sin will go. Because I have come to take away sin from you. Very simple. You can't know me and know sin. You have not known me. I don't know you. It's not, yes, I've been serving God, but you're living in sin. He said, that sin that is you're living in is a proof that there was no encounter. You have heard about me? You've been saying, I'm your Lord? Yes, but there was no encounter. Because if you had encountered me, it was an encounter. If you knew me and I knew you and we had a meeting, sin will be destroyed. For everyone that had a meeting with Jesus left without sin. Mary Magdalene drove out 7 demons. This is what I talked about. Everyone, you can be an exception. Tell me, my meeting. Say my meeting. Say my meeting with Jesus Christ today will drop sin from my life. Say my meeting with Jesus Christ today will drive sin out of my life. Every sin, every sin around me, every appearance of sin will leave me today. Eternal life that comes from Jesus will drive it away. Say, you not encountered me. Yes, you heard about me, but no encounter. I don't know you. Hallelujah. It's like saying, I campaigned for Buhari. I was his campaign manager in Enugu State. Say Buhari. And you now go to Asoro, say, you want to see Buhari. They ask you, who are you? He said, I was his campaign manager in Enugu. He said, I don't know you. I have never met you. Where did we see? So preaching does not qualify you. That means you know Jesus. You know Jesus. Winning souls for him does not mean you know him. Every encounter, every face-to-face look at Jesus destroys sin. Tonight, sin shall be destroyed in your life. Every form, every power, every pressure of sin. And Jesus said in John chapter 3 from verse 14 that as Moses lifted a serpent in the wilderness. John 3 from verse 14. So will the Son of Man be lifted, that anyone who will look at him, Kaya Parusika, there are different encounters with Jesus, but the first and major encounter, it's an encounter with him at the cross. If you have not reached the cross, you can't cross to anything. You must get to the cross to cross over. That's the beginning. He told Nicodemus, he said, yeah, you're a good man. But I want to tell you something. You must be born again. The man said, how can? He told him all this. The man was still confused. He said, okay, let me come down to what we understand. In verse 14, he now said, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so when the Son of Man be lifted up. So that if you see him, so if you encounter him, the Jesus that died, if you meet him at the cross, if you meet him at the cross, if you meet him at the cross, you shall be saved from sin. Other meetings we follow later. But that's the first meeting. There's someone here tonight. You will meet Jesus at the cross. You have been trying to have a meeting with Jesus as after the cross. You meet him in glory. Meet him in his newness of life. Meet him resurrected Jesus. Meet the Jesus that makes people rich. You have met Jesus. But you have not met the Jesus. The first meeting must have with him. Which is like a marriage that you consummate to enter into the remaining things. That's the first meeting. He told Nicodemus, until you see sin crucified, until you see a serpent representing sin judged on a pole of brass, which is judgment. He said, that's the way the Son of Man shall hang as judgment for your sin, and your encounter with that judgment of your sin will release you, and you'll be free from sin forever. And that is how your life will start. There's someone today that encounter shall be true for you. You have preached Jesus. You have talked about Jesus. Through you, even some people have been healed, but you have not really had that one that destroys sin. Stand on your feet now, everybody, and worship Jesus that died on the cross. Worship the Messiah that hung on a tree. Igarusia dazia. Lord, open my eyes to see that you will not say you don't know me. I want to encounter you. I want to encounter you. I've preached you. I've seen some of your power, but I don't think I've encountered you. So that you will not say, I don't know you. I want to encounter you. I want to know you. I want to have an encounter. That kind that others had in the past, and their story was changed. Here, Copradisia. Legedenzo Vrakita. Ezoprakate Catalia. Liere denge bagosa. Engro gadegedo zagaba. The Jesus that died. Hey. I come to the foot of the cross this evening that I might cross over to 2023 with Jesus the Savior from sin. If I were you, I would cry out for an encounter tonight. This very first night. I want to meet with the Jesus that saves from sin. Ego rosa gada 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 gada. Edogo bagadeshia. I want every easily beset and sin to drop off tonight. Jakata la tetera, gedezene matapale. 2022 is gone. I want to meet the Jesus that saves from sin tonight. Egwele gede de gede gede de gede ke, berede shada balaka talabada. Every big sin, every small sin, every white sin, every red sin, every light sin, every heavy sin. Every professional sin,
Every ministry sin. In Karadaban Shatala. I want to meet with the Jesus that saves from sin. Open your mouth and pray. I want to have an inner strength to face obstacles, an inner energy to face challenges, a bounce back power because of inner strength against every opposition. I want to have a spirit that is not weighed down by sin. I want to drop off every excess luggage. Every excess luggage that won't let me fly. This 2023, I'm in for something big. And I won't let Satan toy with my destiny. Jesus. In the name of Jesus.